Hi, I'm Deb McIntyre, and you are listening to the Shamans Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope my podcast gives you some insight into shamanism and its ancient practices and processes. This podcast will cover elements of shamanism that you can incorporate into your everyday life. You will also be listening to other people's experiences via my podcast guests. We will talk about many topics such as primal woman, primal man, the shaman's talking stick, the shaman's roundtable discussion, as well as some more general topics that I might throw in. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, or perhaps you are listening whilst out walking or in the car. And welcome to this week's episode. Welcome to today's episode on imposter syndrome. Today we are joined by Claire FitzHenry and Lisa Byrne. Welcome, Claire and Lisa.
Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Hi, Deb. Hi. Thanks for inviting me here today.
Awesome. I'm so excited to have both of you here today, and we are going to be discussing this awesome topic which resonates with so many of us. Imposter syndrome initiates feelings of self-doubt and unworthiness in one's own abilities. This affects everyone at some point in their life. It can be a small voice that continually triggers these emotions of not being good enough or not doing enough. When acknowledged and understood, the imposter syndrome creates an opportunity for dissecting and coming to terms with patterns and beliefs that continually show up in our life that require attention and resolution. Claire, what is your experience with imposter syndrome?
Oh, Deb, I think we have to come to a place of acceptance that it will just try and rear its head. It doesn't ever go away, I think. It's just how we manage it. But certainly, I feel like I can manage it much better than what I used to. It used to, like, dictate my life to the point that, yeah, like you said about the self-worth part, it really consumed my identity, that I felt like I didn't give people enough value. So then I always felt like I was proving myself. But over the years, as I've gone through those subconscious programs and really gone deep to see why this kind of story had played out, is actually, like I said, it's still there. It still pops up. It still rears its head, but it doesn't have as much hold or as much power over me now. And I'm much more trusting in myself and my abilities. So when that negative chatter pops up, I can quieten it quicker, I think, yeah.
And I love that you share that it's not something that goes away, but it can be more quiet in our mind as we have an awareness and acknowledge it. And, you know, the main thing for me is also having an understanding of where it originates from and what it's about. So continually asking these questions. So Lisa, has there been moments of self-doubt and unworthiness that you have experienced?
Yes, definitely. And I agree with Claire, you know, it's something that I've had all my life, and I still do today, but it's not as severe as it used to be because I'm more managing it now, where I never used to before, and it did dictate my life, the self-doubt and not believing in myself or not thinking that I was worthy. A great example of this would be a few years ago, for a long time now, that I've always wanted to go back into study, and I've always wanted to help others and become a psychologist, because I was always fascinated by the human mind and psychology. but I never thought that I was good enough or smart enough to achieve this. And I never thought that, you know, I could go back and study this because I wouldn't be able to learn new skills or even retain the information and the knowledge. So, but slowly and surely, as I, you know, started to take action on that, and, you know, I built a sense of self-worth and belief, and I eventually started to believe that I could do this, and I'm actually now coaching people, and now I'm helping other people. Sorry.
That's okay. Yes, absolutely. So powerful. So powerful. Self-belief around it.
But I still have that self-doubt. You know, there is still a little bit of fear there that holds me back. And it's like letting go of my old ways and my old beliefs. So it's an ongoing process. And moving forward, you know, it's like I still have that fear of stepping more into my power, you know. So it's just, it comes down to trusting myself and really sitting in that trust and taking action on that. So
that's why it's called the journey.
Yes.
Let's talk about ways to understand where these feelings or these beliefs come from and how best to resolve them. So I guess I'm going to start with Claire. And I'm just going to ask you to share about ways perhaps that you can, or you have used or tried in the past that have been successful for you to better understand what these feelings and beliefs around imposter syndrome are.
I think, Deb, you make a really valid point about like where it comes from. And when I reflect, I'm sure my parents won't mind me sharing this, but often, it, you know, we pick these things up by observation. And even looking at my parents' journey through adulthood, as I've become an adult and what observe them, it's really interesting to see the self-talk that they have, the way that they show up. And naturally, as children, we just copy our parents, right? So I think it's really... it's really profound when you start to really observe the people around you, and it doesn't necessarily just have to be your family, the people, your friendships, your communities, and how that really has an impact on the way that you show up and the way that you speak to yourself. But some ways that I guess I manage that imposter syndrome, is that right, Deb? Some ways to manage it, is that what you're looking for?
Yes. How do you, what tools have you used?
Yeah, absolutely. I've almost named the part of me, the internal chatter, and I call it the ego self, that the imposter syndrome voice. I've given it a name. So I don't believe that it's true. I just believe it's there to keep me safe. And we all have that part of self, which is really useful, that internal chatter that tries to keep us safe. If we went to put our hand in the fire and that voice kicks in, it's really useful to stop us from putting ourselves in danger. But I've actually, I've named it. So when it comes up, when that imposter syndrome voice comes up, I can observe it as a voice, but it doesn't hold weight. It doesn't control my mind and make me believe it. I just acknowledge it. Hi, that's coming up again. It's quite funny. It's like you have a conversation with yourself almost. Observe it, acknowledge it, and ask it, what's it trying to keep me safe from? What's it fearing? And that's really, really powerful because, again, it could come back to, it could be fearing something that happened when you were 8 years old, and the circumstances that you're moving towards or the goals that you're working towards have nothing to do with that event that happened when you were 8 years old. But that narrative, that imposter syndrome, that voice is trying to convince you otherwise. So for me, acknowledging it and not fearing it, and asking it, you know, what are we fearing here? What's the story? So then I can give it, yeah, I can give it time and acknowledgement.
Yeah, I like that. So it's almost as if you see the imposter syndrome as an illusion. We still need to be aware of it and acknowledge it, but we don't buy into it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And what I'm hearing from what you're saying is, as part of the journey, each time that story or that memory or the imposter syndrome pops up, you have a better understanding of where it stems from, where it comes from, and the memories or the stories around it. Even though it might manifest differently in a new experience, you have, I guess, a timeline as to its originality, as to its past experience, its past life. And then it is up to you to say, okay, now I see it manifesting as whatever it is, and I acknowledge it, I'm aware of it, and I'm just releasing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key there, Deb, the releasing it, so it doesn't control us. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing, Claire. Lisa, what about your experiences and, perhaps what tools or practices that you have incorporated and learned over time? Because sometimes we are not aware of certain practices and tools that we can use until we evolve and transform more in our journey and we grow and gain more insight.
Yes, yeah, so... It's for me, it's definitely, you know, childhood conditioning, copying my parents' behaviors, observing and, you know, learning from their limits and their choices that they made. And, you know, as a child, I never felt supported or encouraged. You know, like I had all these ideas and dreams and I wanted to go traveling and I was just never really supported in any of the choices that I wanted to make. So it was like I was allowing other people to make those choices for me and I felt like I was just being kept, you know, safe and kept very small. And I remember actually before I took off traveling, I remember my father's words. He was like, why do you want to go traveling? You know, what is it out there? You know, you should stay in your job where you are. It's secure, it's safe, you know. And suppose I always felt like the black sheep in my family. I wanted to be different. I wanted to be different from the rest, you know, I knew that there was more out there for me. So, you know, and yeah, it's definitely been something that has been installed in me from a very, very young age, but you know, it's taken time to work through that. And then I saw the patterns repeat themselves as I was, you know, moving through life and getting into relationships, like relationships for me, I learned so much about myself in those relationships because it really reflected the choices and decisions that I was making in my adulthood. So I knew that I had to do some serious work on myself to, you know, change that. And yeah, so some tools that I've used to, you know, step more into self-worth and to not doubt myself and to believe in myself more is really bringing awareness around those patterns and understanding where they have come from and not having an attachment around them. So yeah, definitely bringing awareness and, you know, looking at my choices and decisions that I was making. And it was a big wake up call for me. I was like, wow, like I'm still keeping myself small here. And I still have all these dreams and goals that I want to reach, but I'm not actually taking action on them. I'm actually keeping myself, you know, I'm holding myself back. So yeah, definitely like just bringing awareness around that patterns and just understanding where they come from and just making better choices for myself and just really shining the light on like, you know, am I choosing myself here or am I still choosing other people? Am I still allowing people to make the decisions for me? So that was a massive wake-up call for me. And when I started to make my own decisions, you know, it was just something that just, it really propelled me, and it really like it helped me become more confident in making more decisions. So yeah, just being really kind to myself, choosing myself. I've made some really, really big, massive decisions, which, you know, it had taken me some time to leave some people behind in my life, but I just started to choose me, and I just started to trust in myself and to believe in myself. And just, you know, as well, just looking at, and, you know, if I ever have that self-doubt in myself, you know, something that I do on a regular basis is just take a note of my accomplishments in life that I've already achieved. You know, because sometimes we can feel at points in our life that, oh, we're not reaching our goals, we're not reaching our dreams. And it's about, you know, just taking note of where you are at on your journey and looking at what you already have achieved, you know, to this point, and understanding that it is a journey. Practicing gratitude as well, just being grateful for the things that I currently have in my life, you know, the simple things that I have in my life as well. And talking about that awareness again, it's just about, you know, the self-talk. It's bringing awareness to what stories that we're feeding ourselves, what thoughts are there, what emotions are coming up on a day-to-day basis, you know. And if we are feeding ourselves that self-doubt, you know, it's like you need to step out of that. You really got to, you know, change that story, change that thought pattern, and be able to break that cycle. And it is an ongoing process.
You know, and what I hear there is stepping more into our power. You know, so the awareness and the acknowledgement and, you know, things that Claire mentioned as well as yourself, it's all about stepping into that power, you know, whether from a young age we were unable to have a voice or unable to step out and own it. And I love that you mentioned how your dad said, you know, what do you want to go there and go to Australia and do that for, or go traveling for, where you know, quite easily you could have gone, oh yeah, you're right, you know. And that's when we lose our voice, because we give somebody else that power. But it's like, no, I'm taking ownership of this. This is what I feel is right for me, and that's what I'm doing. And, you know, the imposter syndrome for me is owning every part of yourself, no matter how it shows up or manifests. It's owning it and having an understanding of how it fits into my life in this present moment. I'm also going to open it up to Claire as well, because I think it would be really cool just to have a discussion generally about how this can impact our life in so many different ways if we don't give it heed. So this is not suppressing it, but allowing it to flourish, allowing it to bloom, allowing it to come up so we can gain more insight into it. So whoever wants to go first, please do so.
Deb, I think for me, I think without that, like we fear, maybe, we, you know, we fear there's parts of ourselves, particularly with imposter syndrome, we fear this and we're trying to get rid of it. But actually, without it, how do we grow? How do we push through that next fear, that next like barrier? So actually, how can we use imposter syndrome for our growth? Because we've all said it all comes up for us now. And it, you know, if when you're going to that next challenge or that next goal, you're shifting in life, again, it's going to come up. It's going to present itself, but actually we can utilize it in a really positive way, that actually, what's this showing us? What still needs a bit of love and attention? What limiting beliefs are running the show here? What still needs to be healed so we can move forwards? So yeah, I think we can use it in a positive way, and not fear it.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, like just Claire said, like, you know, it's just, you know, it's showing us parts of ourselves that still needs to be healed and still needs to work on. For me, it's very much about my voice, you know, owning my voice. And it's taken me a few years to step into this, and I'm still stepping into this, you know. But I find, you know, saying yes to opportunities and taking action, yes to opportunities, to things that really get me out of my comfort zone. Because staying comfortable and staying safe does not serve me. So it's embracing that fear and stepping into that, you know, and using it to our advantage, you know, because like when we overcome a step, it's like we look back and we think, what was all that about? What was that fear all about, really? So yeah, it really just, you know, shows us where we're at in our journey and what we still need to keep working at consistently. So yeah, we can definitely use it to our advantage.
Yeah, and I love that. I love the point that you both raised, how important it is for our ongoing journey, because it shows us where we need to, and I think Claire used the words as give some love to ourselves in a certain area or give attention to a certain area that is showing up. And I always share this with my clients, you know, spirit doesn't inundate us with everything that we need to work on at the same time, because there is no way that we could cope with it. So as we evolve and transform and go deeper and deeper and deeper within self, the deep trauma or those patterns or stories that need to come up to the surface for us to heal from or work on to help us moving forward is when they're revealed. Everything happens when it's meant to, you know, when it serves our higher self. And again, I'm in complete agreeance that the imposter syndrome is so important in our everyday life. It's so important in our growth and our evolution and our transformation, because it has shown us where we have come from and it shows us the path that we need to take moving forward. Would you agree, Claire?
Yeah, absolutely, Deb. I think you both like spoke beautifully around that. It's just, I think it's an important part of our journey for sure. And we're always constantly healing. Like you said, Deb, you get to one bit and you're like, yeah, I feel like I've healed that. And then when we're at a place of readiness, then the next part will come up that we need to again work through. So yeah, we're ever evolving and forever healing. It's going back to that, what you said at the beginning, Deb, isn't it? The journey of self. So absolutely.
Yeah, and I totally agree. It's definitely a process, and it's just, you know, accepting that that is part of the growth and the part of the journey moving forward. So yeah, it is a healing process. You know, it doesn't happen overnight and it does take practice. But I do find like the more you step in and embrace that, you know, things that will reflect back onto you. So like, you know, if you've got that low self-confidence or you don't have a voice, you know, step more into the things that is going to actually allow you to use your voice and to gain confidence. You know, whereas a lot of us will stay away from it because we're so fearful of it. So,
well, thank you, ladies, for sharing that with us, your knowledge and your wisdom around that. You know, it's one of those things we can keep talking about, because, you know, it's such an important part of our journey and our growth. So thank you again for sharing your wisdom and knowledge. And thank you to our listeners. I hope you gained some insight and some help in relation to your journey around this very important topic, imposter syndrome. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening.